You're listening to The Day We Flipped a Satellite on Its Head. I'm your host, Soham Webb, and this is episode number one. Our topic today is, The Day We Flipped a Satellite on Its Head. Soham Webb is brought to you by the PodBot app. Create your own podcast today using artificial intelligence. PodBot.ai offers the easiest way to create your own one-of-a-kind podcast. Do you have something to say to the world? But lack the time, energy, knowledge, skills, talent, and charisma to record your thoughts and publish your own podcast? Well, now you can use a neural network to automatically collect information for you, generate unique content using OpenAI's natural language model, and then put it all together using text-to-speech technology powered by machine learning. So your lazy ass doesn't have to do much at all. Try it today on podbot.ai, you lazy bastard. The city's telephone operator, Weeda's mother, saw the entire switchboard light up at once, and the students at Memphis High heard it over the loudspeaker. Kay's mothers were begging at home, eating lunch in the kitchen, when their portable radio blared. The program was interrupted, but Miss Phillips was on her way to the car park when the terrible news broke. It was quickly estimated that by the time the core sequence of the July 7th flyby began, the equivalent of several weeks of work had been done. What made it worse was that this step had to be taken in the middle of the night, without warning and without any warning at all. Three private two-seat planes were deployed to bring Barbara's father and Kay's parents, as well as her mother and sister, to Dallas. The great distance between Earth and New Horizons made the speed of light appear agonizingly slow as the New Horizon team tried to get its probe back on track to approach Pluto. Those of us who gathered at ARB knew that without the press attention, the world would soon be in the dark about whether or not we had ripped out New Pluto, Pluto's largest moon, or Pluto itself. Given the company's history of building large geostationary communication satellites, one wonders how far Airbus got in building the satellite before it was cancelled, and whether it became so expensive that AT&T decided to withdraw from the industry. It's a guess, but the safe money is that DirecTV will be watching UTV for another decade, at least via satellite. Of course, there are other companies that offer satellite television, and some say that by then there will be smaller companies. But once Dire CTV officially shifts its operations back to terra firma, they won't step in. There are simply too many factors that compete with satellite television to survive in the long term, and it is too expensive for them to compete. You can't get very far out of Boulder or west of it without running out of cell phone signals even in the most remote parts of the country. What if you didn't need a landline because you could record telephone signals with an old satellite dish? It is something to attach to the wall, something used by parents and grandparents, and something more reliable than a tin can for making a phone call. I saw that they still had a satellite dish connected, but they are not as reliable as a telephone line. A remedy could be a subscription satellite service that beams music from a satellite dish into the sky, or even a radio station on the ground. Two companies have launched paid satellite radios in the hope of giving listeners access to the same quality of music as a traditional radio station, but at a fraction of the cost. You don't have to fiddle with your car's radio display to avoid ads, improve reception, or find the best songs. Analysts say it will take a few years for these services to enter the radio market. But analysts say it will likely take a few more years for the service to gain a foothold in the radio market, if at all. As for the satellite, there were only 65 players vying for a place in the first round of the $1,000 to $2,500 tournament. I sprinted to the reporting desk just in time, but I still missed my first few hands. After I folded in his first hand, I was in my second big blind and I'm still down to my last hand. As I wiped the sweat from my forehead, I looked up to see a 4-on-4, and then a patch of wet jelly came loose, making the lifecast very stiff. I sat down to make an impression on the head using prosthetic alginate, a wet jelly applied to the head, face, neck and shoulders, leaving your nostrils open so you can breathe. I bought Christina to cover her eyes while I cleaned the lifecast mold that had been removed from her head, and Alan a pair of gloves. I could hear the dislike in his voice, but I couldn't see the trains and I couldn't hear them either. I brought my laptop to the table where he was sitting, working on a piece of grapefruit with a serrated knife. He held his thumb running through the mesh, handed it back to me, and I held it up. It made me angry to think he wouldn't even give it to me, but I fought against him all day and fought to the point of exhaustion. Only four more satellites were able to take part in the main event, and I won an average of one win per seat purchased, so maybe I should have pushed all of them, in jacks. If we turn the calendar around, I thought, let's put the satellite to rest, but maybe not for the rest of the day. This was the day we flipped a satellite on its head, by the day we flipped a satellite on its head, and this was episode number 1. My name is Soham Webb, and I hope to see you next time. Until then, stay safe.